about the goosebumps I get from hearing that.
This is quite a moment on Sunday night. If you didn't happen to see the 88th Annual Academy Awards, Lady Gaga really took a song and turned it into something a whole lot more. She didn't just sing the song. She acted out the song. It was beautiful. She was joined on stage by 50 sexual assault survivors. The song is called Till It Happens to You. It's from a documentary about campus rape called The Hunting Ground. One of those survivors joins us right now. Kevin Cantor is on the line. Kevin is a slam poet who, as I mentioned, is one of the 50 survivors that joined Lady Gaga on stage. Kevin, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks. I'm happy to be on with you.
As happy as you were being on stage with Lady Gaga, because that's a pretty cool thing.
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. I felt so grateful and privileged to be able to share that moment with all of those survivors and her as well. I'm still kind of reeling from it.
And to watch the audience and their reaction to it and all the people watching at home, it was just such a touching, touching moment. What did it say on your arm?
We believe you. Because I think, and that was something that I chose because for me and my experiences, I just felt like a lot of the rhetoric surrounding my assault and the feedback I got was incredibly invalidating and silencing. And it's also the title of a survivor's anthology that I am a part of that's coming out this April, We Believe You. So that was a message that spoke very strongly to me in what I wanted to display.
Kevin, I don't know. I know for everybody who goes through this, reliving it is something that you almost can't help, and I'm not going to ask you to relive it. And all I'm going to ask is, without giving away too much or too little, what happened?
What you're comfortable saying.
Yeah, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, no, I mean, all of us, the 51 of us, Gaga included, of course, have very unique experiences. But in my case, I have gone relatively public with my story through my art and through my poetry. So it's kind of in my wheelhouse in regards to talking about my experience. But so I was attacked in college by an acquaintance and really remained silent about it for a very long time, told very few people. But I was involved in and still am the spoken word poetry community. And I actually, years after my attack, saw my attacker under the People You May Know section on Facebook.
What?
And kind of re-traumatized by the experience, and immediately turned to poetry as a means to kind of work through that and unpack that experience and trauma. And that is how I ended up going public with my experience and my story, was through a poem I wrote based on that experience.
And of course, Facebook, you know, you guys, did you attend the same school? You obviously had similar friends, and that's why Facebook said people.
We did not attend the same school, actually, but we did run in the same social circles.
I mean, it's not Facebook's fault, but still, oh my God, when you
how
saw
jarring.
That. Yeah.
No, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows like how the internet has made the world smaller, and in some ways, of course, good ways, but of course, it has this, we're heavily saturated in just connection, whether for good or for bad.
Kevin, those words you chose on your arm Sunday night, we believe you, was that an issue in your case where when you finally did tell people what happened, were people not believing you?
Yeah, I mean, I ended up not, personally, I did not report my attack because of the issues I saw moving forward in regards to just the way in which the legal system really works to re-traumatize survivors and put them in the position to be their own strongest advocates at a time when they may not have that strength or that ability. And I remember being left alone in a room with two male officers after my attack, being awfully tacit. And, you know, the rhetoric that was being thrown around by these two police officers was that if I didn't help them, that they couldn't help me, that immediately all of this responsibility was being placed on me. And all I wanted to do was try to start sorting things out for myself. You know, I was told again and again that this was something that couldn't happen to male identifying survivors because, of course, someone like me could have or should have fought back. I mean, all survivors, men, women, you know, gender nonconforming, trans individuals, we're all invalidated and silenced in unique ways.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 20.
All right, you're 22 now?
I'm 23 now.
23 now. Because I'm thinking, you know, if this happened years ago, maybe police officers didn't really know how to lend a sympathetic ear to someone that this just happened to. But you'd think just 2 years ago, it's trauma what you went through to begin with. And then to explain to someone, it just upsets you all over again. And to think for a moment, you're being blamed for it. I don't get that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pervasive rape culture that we have in this country. I mean, that works to, you know, silence and invalidate and sexualize women survivors and completely ignore the issue in regards to male identifying survivors or anyone that, you know, is an outlier in any way. I mean, it's something that we don't want to talk about. So I think that just being able to stand on that platform and lend visibility just by standing there and existing is an incredibly powerful act and something that I was very humbled to share with all of those incredible people. I was, of course, taken to be able to meet Gaga and hear her story and have her share that with us. But really, at the end of the day, I see all of those other survivors just as much as rock stars as she is.
Yeah. Kevin, we hear stories about colleges that do their best to cover up stories like this. They don't want their name to be sullied. Was that an issue at all in your case?
At the end of the day, because I was aware of those other cases, I never even came forward in regards to any sort of administration because of that fear. And I think that for a lot of people, yeah, they end up not even really getting to that point because we are so cognizant and aware of the fact that these cases are so vehemently mishandled. So I never even approached the administrative level in regards to my campus.
Do you stand by that today? I mean, I know this. I know how personal this must be, but I keep hearing we Wendy and I have talked to people who say the important thing is you got to report this. Don't let somebody who ruins your life or tries to ruin your life do that. Report them. I know it's been 2 or 3 years, but when you look back on it, do you think that was the right move or not?
That is not necessarily a belief I hold, only because I believe that no responsibility should be put on the survivor to do anything other than do what they believe is best for themselves.
Yeah.
I think that now as someone who's gone public with my experience, I'm very passionate about creating change around the way in which we handle sexual violence, really working towards shifting the culture. But at the end of the day, as an advocate for survivors, my main hope and goal is so that all survivors know that their only responsibility they have is to themselves to do what they think is best for them. And if that means reporting or not reporting or sharing or not sharing or going through the legal system or finding counseling or using the support system that they have formed themselves, whatever that means for them, whatever survivorship means for them, that is what they should be doing.
So that's your advice to someone who has been assaulted. It just depends on the moment. Have you come forward? And you said Facebook suggested this as someone you might know. Did you ever come forward and press charges? Have you ever confronted your assaulter?
I did not. I mean, the way in which I have been able to work through and unpack the trauma that I've experienced was through my work as an activist and as an advocate for survivors. I knew for me that going through the legal system and doing depositions and all of those things were not going. I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it out of that. It would have been re-triggering and re-traumatizing in a way that I couldn't. I could not cope with, especially, and that's really because of the way that the system is designed to place all this responsibility on the survivor. So instead, I feel like it's become one of my many missions to be more of an advocate for survivors and just mental health, and doing so through my arts activism.
Kevin, on Sunday night, Wendy wasn't at the Academy Awards, and I wasn't at the Academy Awards, but you could feel the emotion through the screen.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like being on stage as you guys were not just performing the song, but the reaction afterwards?
It was empowering and validating. I mean, for a lot of people on that stage, like I said, I have gone public in with my story. For a lot of people on stage, that was in a way, many of them were involved in the film, right? But just to stand there and exist and be validated by this audience and that industry and have that visibility was incredibly empowering. I mean, we all were standing backstage during the first few verses, just holding hands and breathing together and sharing that energy and kind of just taking in that moment that we were all existing loudly and defiantly together and that there was no way that we were going to be silenced that night.
No, because the power through all 50 of you and Lady Gaga was evident from just sitting in my living room watching it. It really was. Did you think for a minute, Kevin, that maybe the person who assaulted you was watching? Did it give you some validation to show, hey, I'm standing up to this. I'm on stage with Gaga. What are you doing?
You know, at the end of the day, I don't reframe any of my experiences through the lens of my attacker. It's not something that I want to do. I mean, trauma is not something that I believe we get over. It's something that we live with and continue to work through and surmount. But I'm not going to give any part of my experiences to that person anymore. That part of this experience has passed me. So now it's going to be about me and other survivors and not about my attacker.
You won, Kevin. You know that?
Thank you.
You did.
And so did all of them. And I hope that other survivors feel the same way, having watched it, that they were seen and heard and validated.
You know, I was thinking when they announced the winner, and it was Sam Smith who won for Writings on the Wall from James Bond. And I know the song didn't win that you were a part of, but the statement was made and the reaction was so strong. So like Wendy said, you did win.
Yeah, we really all felt like we won the night, and hopefully it's in ways a landmark or cornerstone, and people were listening in a way in which they actually want to go out and make positive change, you know, get online and sign the It's On Us pledge and really start to be more proactive in counteracting rape culture.
Sure.
Yeah.
Joe Biden came out and talked to us about It's On Us, and you can go to itsonus.org to stop sexual assault. Good for you. You're moving on. You're surviving. And as we mentioned, you won, Kevin Cantner.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Kevin, thanks for being here. Go on.
And
Wendy,
your website for people who want to see some of your slam poetry.
Yeah, you can find me at kevincantorpoetry@gmail.com, and my book, Endowing Vegetables, Too Much Meaning, is on Amazon.
Excellent. Kevin,
we believe
thanks.
You.
We do believe you.
Thank you. All right. I believe everyone else.
thank you. That's Kevin Cantner, everybody. A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.